That's right, everybody. As always, thank you so much for tuning in and taking this journey inside the Black Vault with me. I'm your host, John Greenwald Jr., founder and creator of theblackvault.com, and I am going to break down a story that some of you may have heard in the mainstream media about the announcement of UFO files within the Obama Presidential Library. Now, I found myself kind of in the center of this story. I had posted it last week on social media. Vice News was first to pick it up, and in essence, we'll break down the whole story. But in essence, it was the discovery of literally thousands of potentially related UFO files or files related to OSAP or ATIP, two programs that we've talked a lot about on this channel. Obviously, all connected to this, again, secret Pentagon UFO study story that has circulated since 2017, since the end of 2017. Well, since that time, Vice News, since the time Vice News picked it up, all sorts of media outlets now around the world are covering this, because this is kind of a I would say, unexpected but phenomenal discovery, pardon the pun. But the reason I say that is because OSAP and ATIP and UFO-related information when it comes to the era of ATIP is kind of hard to come by. We know about OSAP within the DIA. We know that there's some files, we think, within DOD, but really nothing has come out yet when it comes to the actual program files. Is this something that includes that? Or are we really going to dive into what the program was? Is this just communication? I don't have the answer to that, but I'm here to break down the story. Now, let me dispel maybe any expectations here right up front. I'm not here to show you the files because they're not being released yet. I'll get into the timetable in a few minutes, but that's not what this video is. Rather, I want to break down for you guys the process. What is the story that's being circulated by mainstream media, and additional new information that I haven't talked about yet. I briefly spoke about it yesterday when I did a panel discussion for the LA Law Library that was online. Now, I posted this out a few times. It was a 100% free panel, and I was honored to take part. This was not a UFO organization, nor was it a quote-unquote UFO event, although UFOs were talked about in a panel about the Freedom of Information Act at this law library in Los Angeles. I was on a panel with Michael Morrissey, who is the founder of Muckrock, and Grace Chen, who is part of Thomson Reuters and works within that news organization. So I was honored to take part in that and appear with them because they are two incredibly smart individuals, and we got to break down in different ways the FOIA and then ultimately how it has connected to the UFO topic, just to show some of the documents that came out. I did see some familiar names in the audience list, so thank you guys for registering, but it was really nice to kind of break out of the UFO community, so to speak, and talk to an environment like that. This is Sunshine Week, so happy Sunshine Week to you all. If you don't know what that is, this week is a celebration of open records laws and essentially celebrating our rights as American citizens, but really citizens of the world that can take part in the Federal Freedom of Information Act, our right to access information. So Sunshine Week really reflects on our ability to do that. And although some may think FOIA doesn't produce results, I'm here to tell you it absolutely does. I don't consider it a broken law, but rather one that, you know, needs some stitches and Band-Aids here and there. But this week is all about celebrating it. And so that is what my appearance was for the LA Law Library. And Monday I got to talk to the University of Richmond and a class there. And from what I understand, that video actually may be made public pretty soon, but it was a lot of fun to speak with those that were involved in the university there. And that was a great time for me. So let's get into the video itself. I just wanted to give a little bit of background about this week and what Sunshine Week is. But again, this is the story that everybody kind of is hearing about. Let me pull up the visuals. So we're going to break down the UFO files at the Obama Presidential Library story. Not to repeat this, but Vice was first to pick it up. It's been covered by Newsweek, The Independent, Bild in Germany. I've seen a couple other international news organizations pick it up, some obscure ones as well. But regardless, it's really a story that has circulated a lot. It even ended up on the top of the Drudge Report, whether or not you like that site or not. It remains one of the most coveted spots in news. So whenever one of these stories appears on there, it's kind of a big injection of exposure for not only this topic, but obviously the news story at hand. So let's kind of start breaking it down a little bit about what that story is. Now, a quick background to presidential files and how they work. It ties into the Presidential Records Act. The White House, as it sits like right now, the Biden administration, I can't file a FOIA to the White House. Those records, which are considered presidential records, are covered by the Presidential Records Act. And what that means is that those are completely off limits to FOIA until 4 years after the presidential administration ends. So when Obama had left office and President Trump took over, 4 years thereafter, Obama's records were open to the general public. So that was in January. I was sadly suffering from COVID at the time. So it took me a couple of days to get the request in. But there were some people that were quoted as literally waiting up until midnight for them to submit the request because they wanted to be first in line. Of course, in retrospect, I would have liked to have been first in line based on what you're about to hear. But regardless, you know, that's how serious some people are. But just kind of a background, that was when I was suffering from COVID. So it took me a couple of days after that initial date to file the Freedom of Information Act request. This is what I requested. Let me see. It's not the whole request, but I just wanted to kind of break down exactly what it was. I respectfully request a copy of records, including videos and photos, electronic or otherwise, of the following: unidentified flying objects, unidentified aerial phenomena or phenomenon. Respectively, they are also referred to as UFOs and UAPs. I ask that you include all readily available records that pertain to the topic, as I believe during the Obama administration, there was rumored to be UFO investigation under the names Advanced Aerospace Weapons Systems Application Program, or ASAP, along with the program Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, or ATIP. I ask that you include all records pertaining to these two program names and acronyms as well that may reside in the Obama Presidential Library holdings. That's just for you FOIA people on how these things are structured, and I'm going to get into what response that this yielded right now. This was the, not the first, I'm not going to break down everything for you. You get an interim response that kind of puts you in line. This was the first response of substance, and you can see here my request was submitted January 23rd, 2022. This came on March 10th. And I'm not going to read it verbatim, but you can see it's just in response to my FOIA request. They reference, you know, the different public record laws, FOIA, so on and so forth. Paragraph 2, however, let me pull up the pen here so I can point where I'm at. Right here, we've performed a search of our collection for presidential records related to your request and have identified approximately 3,440 pages and 26,271 electronic files of potentially responsive records that must be processed in order to respond to your request. Please keep in mind that these totals are an estimate and that all material processed may not be applicable to your specific topic. This is what's interesting about this breakdown. It's oddly specific and it is not an all-encompassing number because we know that there's a lot more than 3,400 pages at the Obama Library. What I was waiting for before I did this video was what did they do to get these numbers? And I don't have an answer to that yet. And I'm not sure when that'll come. This could come an hour after I post this video, a day or a decade, who knows? But at least I have enough to kind of give you guys the story. So I don't know how they got those numbers, but I can tell you from experience, when you have something oddly specific like that, they did something to yield that number. Now the key word here is the potentially responsive. So potentially is in there. That means that gives them a little bit of wriggle room that when I get my final response, it may be 1,000 pages, not 3,400. And the reason for that is quite a few different things, but in my opinion, it's if they, you know, come up with things like news articles and stuff like that, if I omit them, then they won't include them. It's getting a little technical when I start talking about that, but in essence, if a lot of people within the Obama administration were forwarding around news articles, no context, no editorial, no comments or anything like that, but rather they see Obama being referenced and they forward news articles. That happens a lot. Well, those are subject to FOIA, but it's not really interesting. So, and the reason is it's just a newspaper article. So it doesn't really matter, you know, if you file a FOIA request, and they still have to review it. So a lot of times in a FOIA, you can say, I omit all publicly available information like newspaper articles. So they use the word potentially simply because they do answer these very much like a lawyer. But on top of that, you're also not being locked in to guaranteeing me there's 3,440 pages, because that opens it up to a nightmare where I get 1,000 pages and I go, hey, wait a minute, here's my appeal. You guys said this, so on and so forth. So it's a little bit safety language as well. The 26,271 electronic files was to me more mind-blowing than the 3,400 pages, because I wasn't sure exactly what that encompassed. I'll tell you what that encompasses in a second. That's the new information that I haven't talked about yet. I had responded, I had posted out on the 10th the announcement from the Obama library that this was found during my request, which I was floored. I use those words on Twitter. I'll echo them here now. And I even said this in Twitter, if true, I'm floored, because I didn't expect that. I really didn't. That's a big chunk of data on a program that has very little to its name, at least as I record this. I know that some people may not like me for saying that, but that's just the reality. FOIA hasn't produced anything because DIA is sorely behind. And the Pentagon is very much pushing back on the fact that they really don't have anything. Emails of Luis Elizondo have been deleted. That's a big story. So it's very hard to come by these records. So when the Obama administration says we have literally tens of thousands of pages in electronic files, you got my interest, because UFO related or not, it sounds like it might be about OSAP or ATIP or both. Now we're talking. Now this will break down what is really going on. And on top of all else, why was the White House involved in this conversation? So if this ends up to be all newspaper articles, I'll be quite surprised. I highly doubt that it is. The last response, and here's the new stuff, so I'll spend a little bit more time on this. This is the breakdown of the material itself. And I want to go back aside, because I was jumping ahead too quickly. When I had received the breakdown, I wrote them back after I posted all that material and said, essentially, how long is this going to take? Is there any ETA? What can I expect from this? And you can see here in this paragraph, as stated in our letter dated February 18th, part of, and then the case number, it's been piggybacked onto a FOIA request previously submitted for similar records. The request that yours is piggybacked onto is in the complex unclassified electronic queue, and there are 64 requests ahead of it in this queue. Our best estimate at this time is that it may be completed in approximately 12 years. This paragraph here, as stated in our letter dated March 10th, 2022, part of request 22-21122-F, for those listening to the audio version, that's the case number, is in the complex unclassified electronic queue, and there are 87 requests ahead of yours in this queue. Our best estimate at this time is that it may be completed in approximately 16 years. If you have any questions regarding your FOIA request, please contact our staff. Well, you darn better believe I got questions. First and foremost, why 64 requests causes a 12-year backlog, and why 87 requests in what is kind of worded the same queue, complex unclassified electronic queue. Complex unclassified electronic queue. The same exact queue is referenced in both paragraphs with different numbers ahead of it. Same case number, and the ETA differs by 4 years. I don't have an answer to that either, trying to figure that out. I think it may have likely been a typo. There may be two different queues here, but they copy and pasted and didn't update what the actual queue is named. That's a possibility also. Regardless, we're looking at well over a decade by their estimate before we see anything. No, I'm not accepting that. I am working on potentially getting some political involvement, some politicians that may be on my side. We'll see if that comes to fruition. I've also got a couple other things, and I'm working directly with the library. I don't have anything to report at this point where the time frame is shrinking, but I am working one-on-one with them. I've had more correspondence with them today, trying to break down essentially how we can speed this up and make this a lot quicker than a decade. Okay, so now, because I was getting ahead of myself, this is the newest response that I have that breaks down what those files are. I'm going to break it down paragraph by paragraph. Your request for records pertaining to documents and communications about unidentified flying objects and unidentified aerial phenomena has been piggybacked onto a FOIA request previously submitted for similar records, as stated in our letter dated March 11. This request is in the complex unclassified electronic queue, and there are 64 requests ahead of it. In this queue, our best estimate is 12 years. Looking at the case logs that were published, I am likely piggybacked with Grant Cameron, who submitted a UFO UAP related request about 3 days prior to mine, which I believe was the first day that you could submit. So he was right there waiting to do this. He filed quite a few other requests. So go him, because he was right there in line, ready to go. Your request for Advanced Aerospace Weapon System Application Program was also piggybacked, but we were unable to locate any unclassified records related to this topic. Classified records are at the National Declassification Center. Their search may result in potentially classified records that are responsive to your request. I will send notification once their initial search is completed. What I'm not sure here is if they are aware that there are classified OSAP-related documents, or they're waiting for the National Declassification Center to give them an answer. Still waiting on that, but at least they are, again, breaking down what they've told me previously. This is where it gets a little bit more interesting. Your request for records pertaining to documents and communications of the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program and photos and videos of unidentified flying objects, unidentified aerial phenomena or phenomenon, Advanced Aerospace Weapon System Application Program, and the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program is the other portion of the request. As stated in our letter dated March 10, 2022, this request is in the complex unclassified electronic queue, and there are 87 requests ahead of yours in this queue. Our best estimate at this time is that it may be completed in approximately 16 years. So I'm guessing, because this wasn't piggybacked on anything, the way that I worded it really is making them dig for these OSAP and or ATIP related records, potentially containing videos and photos. And for whatever reason, they believe that this particular part of the request will be 16 years. Here's the great part. As stated in our letter dated March 10th, 2022, we have identified approximately 3,440 pages and 26,271 electronic files, estimated to be equivalent to 131,355 pages of potentially responsive records that must be processed in order to respond to your request. This has placed your request in a complex queue. Yeah, no kidding. Your request will be processed in segments because of the volume of potentially responsive records. We will review 50,000 pages, and then this request will go to the end of the queue. This means it will take longer for you to receive the records that you're interested in. So remember, those 16 years is likely not 16 years, but a lot more, according to them. I am, again, working with the library to get them to reduce this and reduce the scope. I'm already telling them to omit certain things. And at this point, I may consider breaking this request into numerous other requests to see what we can do. Regardless, part of that gets a little bit technical, but I'm letting you know that even though it's so disheartening to hear 16 years to wait, and then when you see this breakdown, even longer, Yeah, that's frustrating, but know that I'm just not laying down and rolling over and taking the estimate, but rather working very hard to reduce that, reduce the scope, and see what we can do. The congressman from Tennessee, Tim Burchett, was apparently very surprised by this story. For those who don't follow on social media, I was surprised myself. Congressman Burchett saw the story, saw my tweet about it, retweeted it, and said, "Great work." And I was quite impressed by that, because it's not every day that a sitting congressman retweets a UFO-related story and compliments the work behind it. So I had tweeted to him a thank you that I, you know, this is a nonpartisan issue. So it doesn't matter what your thoughts are on a sitting congressman or not, or what their political affiliations are or not, or what bill they supported in the past or not. This is a nonpartisan issue and should remain so. And so I had just tweeted him a thank you, said I was honored that he saw the story and felt the need to share with his followers, constituents, and so on. And he retweeted that and said that this entire story is a cover-up to essentially keep at it. And for them, meaning Congress, to relay a UFO-related story is big enough. For him to retweet my thanks for doing that and saying, "Keep at it, this is a cover-up," that was something even more extraordinary. You just don't see that every day. So I was surprised at that and happy to see it. And surprisingly, Congressman Burchett was not even one of the congressmen and senators that I reached out to for help. So the fact that he saw it somehow and felt the need to go out of his way to do that, very, very cool. But it shows how the tides have turned a little bit when it comes to Congress and the conversation about UFOs. In closing, I want to go back and punch the one point, 131,355 pages of potentially responsive records. That is a huge load of records. The CIA only has about 3,500. The NSA has, you know, 800 to 1,000. The DIA, I think, collectively has 1,000. Very rough estimates, but you're talking about very small numbers on UFOs. For the Obama administration to come back and say we have over 130,000 potentially responsive records, that is a huge deal. Even 10% of that, if they consider it relevant, and for whatever reason the other 90% wasn't, that's a big deal. I will dispel the potential myth that is brewing that this is a generic number, that this is what's at the library. And I will just say again, there's no way that they only have 131,000 pages of digital files to sift through to see if any are related to ATIP. Obviously, they will have into the millions of pages over a 8-year administration. So even though that sounds like common sense probably to most of you, I have seen that argument that they just thought, oh, well, you know, this is what we have at the library, so this is what we have to search through. They did something. And that's what I'm figuring out on how they came up with those numbers. And I will update you on social media, but also on top of that, do a new video if it is extraordinary and something I should inform you on. So that's the story. That's the breakdown. I know sometimes this gets a little dry. Don't get me wrong. It gets a little repetitive because they use the same language. So for me to tell you properly the story, you might hear things a couple different times simply because I hear them a couple different times. But I do that to not only keep you guys informed, but on top of that, I know a lot of you, and even a bigger percentage this week with the exposure for Sunshine Week, are looking into FOIA and how it can work for them. And I like going through these because it shows you what is normal. Sometimes what is not normal, what's abnormal in these types of requests, but also what you guys can expect if you decide to dive into the FOIA. For the rest of you, if it just goes on too long, I do apologize, but that is the update. That's where we're at. And it's just onwards and upwards from here. We'll see what the Obama Library says. I want to close with this, even though, again, it is frustrating to get those estimates, but encouraging at the amount of information that's found. I have zero complaints at the communication from the Obama Library. And that is something that I very much appreciate as a researcher and somebody that, although is met with an extraordinarily long time frame, very much appreciate their willingness to work with me and break down the information very quickly, because they have responded to some of this very, very quickly when I have questions. Hopefully it stays that way, but we'll, you know, jury's still out on that. But at least at this point, I do want to take the time, especially here on Sunshine Week, to recognize an agency that is very communicative, and hopefully those 16 and 12 year estimates are nothing of the sort, because that just shouldn't happen with 60 or 80 cases at this point. So I'll keep you updated. Thank you guys so much. I know I'm a broken record on this part. Please, if you're on YouTube, give that thumbs up button a hit. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel. And the biggest help is spreading the word about this video and many others if you feel that they will be of interest. On top of that, if you are listening to the audio version, because I decided to do this update in the podcast form as well, I always look for 5 stars if you can add a review on whatever platform you are on. I know that I'm on Stitcher and iTunes and Google Play Store, whatever your podcast aggregator of choice is, it's under the Black Vault Radio. So again, the Black Vault Radio, that is where you can subscribe to the podcast and help me out by adding a review. It really does help spread the word. Thank you, guys. This is John Greenwald Jr. signing off, and we'll see you next time.